May the words that I speak and the words that you hear be those of God alone. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. This week I got a very fun email from a friend of mine. She's a youth minister down in Virginia, and her youth group banded together to buy her a new t-shirt. And the picture on the front of this t-shirt is a cartoon of Jesus hang gliding. And the caption underneath the picture says, "What wouldn't Jesus do?" The t-shirt is a play on the popular WWJD, or "What Would Jesus Do?" shirts from the mid-1990s, and yes, I completely realize that that dates me. Now, this amusing new flip turns everything on its head. When we consider what choice our Savior would make, we're not considering all of the things he was capable of doing. And so instead of taking the mundane choices of everyday life as this phenomenon of the 90s told us to do and ask ourselves, really, what would Jesus do? Well, spoiler alert, Jesus would not be choosing between the two mundane things we're asking about in the first place. And so this new idea of what wouldn't Jesus do challenges us to look outside of ourselves and to go beyond our comfort zones, to maybe hang glide with our Savior or do something a little bit more sporting this Lent. But it also reminds us that when we see gospel passages like we see today, where Jesus literally weaves a whip out of cords and drives money changers and sellers and animals out of the temple, this is inside of his character, even though it doesn't necessarily feel like it. Because I'm pretty sure none of the disciples saw this one coming. So before we can understand entirely what has happened in the passage we encountered this morning, we first need to understand why the vendors were there in the first place. The vendors are in the temple selling sacrificial animals. People were traveling from far and wide to go to the temple in Jerusalem to offer burnt sacrifices to God. And it was common practice at the time for people to purchase their perfectly unblemished sacrifices as close to the temple as possible so that they could truly give the best there was to God. One couldn't possibly walk all the way to Jerusalem with a goat or a dove and expect it to be in great shape when they got there. And so vendors were sitting on the steps waiting. And they sold beautiful, perfect animals right there in the temple so that the pilgrims could be sure they had everything that they needed when they went in to worship God. But is that what they really needed? Was a perfect dove ripe for sacrifice what was going to help the poor? Was a perfect dove ripe for sacrifice what was going to open the hearts of the pilgrims to receive all of the graces that God had to give? Sometimes we just miss the point. Try as we might, it goes right over our heads. Solomon's temple was a magnificent specimen of religious architecture. It was built over the course of years to fulfill the scriptures. People came from far and wide to present their sacrifices at this temple that they had waited for. And for many, the sacrifice that they were offering was in lieu of a meal for themselves or maybe even their families. For many people, it was instead of several meals because they were giving literally all they had to give. For many others who came before them, this temple, this amazing house of God, was literally all they had to give because it was built on their backs. This temple was erected with the poor and the slaves doing all of the labor, pouring out literally blood, sweat, and tears to ensure that it was there for future generations, because that's how things got built. That's how royalty was able to erect such a magnificent structure. And the temple was intended to glorify God. But in a way, it also showed all of the cracks of society. So now, as Jesus walks into the temple intending to pray, to find the quiet he longs for as he walks towards the Passover, he instead finds a marketplace. Who among us would find peace praying in a mall? How many times do we convince ourselves, here and now in our everyday lives, that there is a particular thing that we must do for piety's sake? And we focus so much of our attention on that one little goal that we lose track of the big picture. Each year we take on a Lenten discipline or prayer practice. Sometimes that practice ends up working out brilliantly. We go through Lent, we feel closer to God, and we pat ourselves on the back for completing something that was so difficult. We make the check mark in the box and we keep going. Other times, we decide that we're going to do something, to adopt this practice or that, only to encounter troubles, one after another, so much so that we have to dig in and tell ourselves we just need a little more willpower and we'll be able to do this. Somehow forgetting that the place we need to go for the strength is the place that it's supposed to be directing us in the first place, and that is to God. We lose sight of the big picture in favor of the very small venue in front of us. We've become so focused on the thing itself that we forget why we started. We lose sight of the motivation in favor of the physical reminder because we've forgotten to ask ourselves, what wouldn't Jesus do? Jesus wouldn't go to the temple and purchase an animal at the front door in order to burn it on the altar. Jesus would use his resources to ensure that a family without food didn't have to go without. Jesus wouldn't assume that a single act of piety would somehow outweigh the daily decisions that negatively affect those around him. Jesus would remember to look at those little pieces in regards to the big picture. Sometimes we do miss the point, but it isn't because we're not trying. It's because we're human. It's because we are so easily distracted by all of the things going on around us that we forget to take a step back. We are so fixated on specifics and tiny details that we do lose track, and that's why we need Jesus to remind us. When people seem to be missing the point, the good news is God tends to get louder. Adam and Eve don't really pay attention to the instructions they're given. They're banished from the garden. The people are living as though there is no God. The flood occurs. Just this morning, we heard about the Israelites wandering lost through the desert, losing sight of what they're supposed to be doing, and God sends the commandments to Moses at Sinai. The people desperately cry out for a Messiah, and Jesus is born. The people are more concerned with the purity of their animal sacrifice than the hunger and pain of their brothers and sisters. Jesus flips the tables over and drives them out with a whip. It certainly gets the point across, don't you think? We don't expect our gentle, loving, self-sacrificing Messiah to get into a frenzy, but here he is, pushing the authorities and reminding us where to focus our eyes. When we ask ourselves what Jesus wouldn't do, the first answer should always be, he wouldn't become complacent. He wouldn't just go through the motions of the day. Whether he's off praying in solitude, teaching the masses, or throwing tables around in the temple, no one can describe our Savior as complacent. There are times when all of us do become complacent in the monotony of the day-to-day. We need someone to come and flip the tables over in our own lives, to shake up what it is that is expected. We need Jesus to show up in unexpected ways. We've been walking this Lenten path for a couple of weeks now, but it's no time to become complacent. If our practice isn't causing us to turn our eyes to God, maybe we need to shake things up. This is the time when we focus in with even more precision. This is when we remind ourselves each moment of each day why we are walking the path that we're walking. This is when we're most at risk for missing those small things that affect the big picture. And this is when we are most in need of opening our hearts and our minds to the knowledge and love of God that is offered to us. So take a moment and drink it in. If you need to stop beside the path for a moment, do so. Because when we walk forward, we have to make sure that our eyes are open and we're ready to see all that is truly happening in front of us. Amen.
Amen.